Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chalk Talk. I am so excited that you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of the folks over on Facebook, those of you who are joining me live on Blog Talk, or if you happen to hear this show later in the day as a podcast, so excited about what we have on tap to talk about today. Well, first of all, it's that time of year, right? So anytime, well, you know, let me stop. I'm always excited to talk to you guys. There's always something happening in the world of sports or just in the world, period. But guess what? It is officially August. NFL training camps are underway. Yes. And we're going to talk a lot about the NFL and football today. I have a guest joining me. You've heard him if you follow Chalk Talk on this show before. His name is David Steele. He is a writer, columnist with the Sporting News, and we have been friends and colleagues for decades. We're going to talk. He covers the National Football League for Sporting News. We're going to talk about what's happening at NFL training camp. We're going to do a little bit of an update. Hey, good morning, Donald Fleming. Welcome, welcome. So glad to have you on board today. Thank you for being a part of the show. We're going to talk about some NBA basketball. You know, there has been some news. Kyrie Irving apparently wants out of Cleveland, and the Carmelo Anthony stuff is still floating around. And so, and then there's some new stuff with Lonzo Ball. So there's always basketball stuff happening, as it seems. This has been a really busy off season for the NBA. We'll talk about some of that. Nash, definitely we'll talk about what's happening with the Houston Texans. Big news out of training camp this week on yesterday, an injury to Will Fuller, a second-year receiver out of Notre Dame, broke his collarbone. And they're looking at 2 to 3 months of him being out. So what does that mean for the Houston Texans? We will talk about all of that and more. Hey, Sylvia, that's my sister, fresh back from her cruise. I can't wait to hear all about it. Yay, I'm glad you made it back safely. Good to see you. And we also are going to talk about those Houston Astros, right? The Houston Astros, what's happening around Major League Baseball. And, we're going to talk about all of that. And we're going to spend some time today talking about what is happening with Colin Kaepernick. There have been, there's more and more talk and murmurs and rumors, not rumors, but this groundswell of chatter about whether or not there should be a boycott. So I want to talk about what that looks like. Is that the answer? How do you do it? And who would participate? So there's a lot to talk about on today's show. So when I have a lot to do and some heavy topics and I need somebody with credibility and experience, I go and bring in my dear friend and colleague, David Steele, because he always makes me, you know, just imminently feel smarter when I have him on. Good morning, David. Are you there? Good morning. Oh, wait. There we go.
Good morning.
Okay.
I can hear you. Hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome, welcome. How is the weather up in, I guess, are you in the Baltimore area?
I am in the Baltimore area, yes. It's clear. It stopped raining. It's a basic muggy mid-Atlantic day here. So I'm sure you're very familiar with that there in Houston. I know I was for my visits out there. So.
Yeah, and we're having some kind of rainy, cloudy weather. And we're kind of like in the same space, so to speak. So as always, thank you for joining me, David. There is so much to talk about. And before we do, let's tell me some of the things that you've been writing about recently and what's on the at the top of your list that you're covering this week.
Yeah, it's been pretty much all Colin Kaepernick all the time the last couple of days, just because of the start of training camp. And there's so much going on in the NFL right now. Training camps are open, so all these injuries. I mean, I literally just filed a story, which will be showing up on sportingnews.com sometime today, about just the injuries, the serious injuries that have happened just this first week, including Will Fuller, which is just mind-blowing, you know, considering what you guys are trying to do out there. But so much has been focused on Colin Kaepernick with what's going on with this this whole attempt by the Ravens to come to some sort of decision about what they're doing from a football from the football side of it, from the community relations side of it, from protecting their image, their brand, whether ownership weighs in on it enough. It's kind of swallowed everything up right now, for football reasons and for all kind of other reasons, obviously.
So let's talk about that, because you're right in the thick of it. The Ravens happens to be the one team that has actually, given some consideration, or at least that we know of publicly, to bringing in a Colin Kaepernick. And then you have this, groundswell of, outburst from Ravens fans. What has that been like in the area? And take us through really kind of the process, the chronological process of what's happened since they even talked about bringing in Colin Kaepernick.
Well, Joe Flacco showed up at training camp with a bad back. And that sent, obviously, alarms all through the organization, through the city and the fan base, and also obviously triggered the immediate reaction of, well, if anyone's going to go out and get Colin Kaepernick, this is it. This is the situation that so many of the people who are trying to plead caution, who are trying to sort of give the NFL an out in all this blackballing that they've been accused of all offseason. The idea was, well, wait till training camp, wait till the starter gets hurt, wait till things get desperate. Some teams are going to put that aside and say, we need to go out and get the best quarterback out there. We're not going to get some scrub. We're not going to, go out there trying to appease, this loud segment of the fan base that's, busy talking about boycotting and worrying about the troops and all this other stuff. This is that situation. That's where the Ravens are right now. They're in huge trouble if they don't have Joe Flacco this year. Kaepernick, there is no other quarterback left. It's August. They play next a week from today. They need to figure out whether Flacco's going to be out for the whole year and what they can do if he's out for a year or a month, the season, a month, whatever. So they reach out to Kaepernick, and immediately, and this weird, the funny thing was that the timing on this was pretty crazy. They were holding a fan forum because they're having the big fan workout at the stadium on this past Sunday. So the owner was there. Roger Goodell happened to be there as well. The topic obviously came up, and Goodell tap danced around it. And the owner, Steve Bisciotti, gave this big long speech about, oh, I need to consult Ray Lewis about the, about bringing him in and getting guidance from him and his experiences. And I want to monitor the fan base. I want to monitor our sponsors, our business partners.
Okay, I got to stop you for one second.
They're hiring actually a new owner.
I got to stop. I got to ask you, David. I got to ask you. I got to ask you a question. I just.
Please
do. So the whole Ray Lewis thing. Okay, so Ray Lewis. I'm just so over him. And I understand. See, here's the deal. For those of you who are listening, and thank you, welcome to Chalk Talk. Glad that you're here today. For those of you who are listening and watching, and if you wonder why some people get, hey, Bobberhead, good day, welcome, get opportunities to be on national broadcast and others don't, just look no further than a Ray Lewis. They would much rather put a Ray Lewis on and his buffoonery and his high level of ignorance, because I just have to go there with him. He is in no position to say anything about Colin Kaepernick. People have kind of gone with the fact that you went through all of the stuff you did. You've gotten an opportunity to come back. You get to be on TV. He's clearly glad to be in the room. How dare Ray Lewis have anything to say about Colin Kaepernick? And what in the hell makes the Ravens want to ask him anyway? When did he become some kind of moral authority? I don't understand. Did I miss something? What happened?
Here's the beauty of the situation. Half, if not more, of the people here in Baltimore are asking the exact same question. And this is the city where he became a star. He could still go to games right now. He's been retired for 5 years.
Right.
There are going to be more people with Ray Lewis jerseys in the stands than any other jersey, current player, past player, anything.
Okay. Okay.
He is the face of this organization. There's a statue of him outside of that stadium. He is what people outside representation of the Baltimore Ravens is. And yet, there's a huge segment of this fan base that's sick and tired of him for the exact same reasons you get. I mean, this is not his first little conflict he's expressed publicly with anything related to Black Lives Matter. It was like about a year ago. It was about a year after the Freddie Gray uprising, in fact, that he went on a tirade on, you know, that he videotaped in his house about Black Lives Matter. So here he is weighing in again. He's found his little niche on the network that embraces this sort of thing. You know, we all know what that is.
He's a puppet.
It's the same network that invited Michael Vick on to get his perspective on Colin Kaepernick. So that's all you need to know about the atmosphere that they're creating over there. But yes, Ray Lewis. So yes, that's who the owner of this team, Steve Eisenman, and I will repeat his name over and over and over again so people understand what they're dealing with. You know, and remember, he's also the same guy who stood up for Ray Rice and all the things he did over and over and over and over and over again and worked what he needed to work within that organization, within the league, to get Ray Rice 2 games off for knocking his wife's, his fiance's lights out, and then had to backtrack when the other video came out. Okay, that's the moral ground that this organization is taking out. How do we handle Ray Rice? How do we handle Ray Lewis? Oh, but Colin Kaepernick, we got to really give some thought to this. We got to really, tread lightly. We got to be very measured in all of this and get the temperature of everybody to make sure that this is okay. For a guy who did nothing more than exercise his constitutional right to say what he said, what he has said many, many times. In this city, that's right, I mean, that's all over. In Baltimore, we know what Baltimore is like. We all watched what happened 2 years ago in Baltimore with the police and Freddie Gray.
Wow.
And yet this is the stance that, you know, the NFL franchise in this city has chosen to take. I mean, it's complex. There is absolutely no consensus, no unity, no togetherness. The split on this among the fans is as sharp as maybe there's ever been in any city. And, it's almost karma that it's Baltimore that's facing this when it comes right down to it.
So here's a couple of things. There's so much to unpack here. And I'm so glad it's you today. I mean, we've been trying to do this, and I actually gave you some notice, so let me pat myself on the back for being a much better planner. So that it happens to be you, and we're talking so much about Colin Kaepernick. So there's so many things about this that really, really bothers me, right? First of all, we have Ray Lewis, who, you know, beat a murder charge, and I say beat it, you know, he was acquitted, you know, that's fine. Let me just ask this without any form of judgment. Has he married any of those women he has tears for yet?
That would be a no.
Okay, let me go back to it. Okay, so that's Ray Lewis,
and
the guy that had a chinchilla.
One of his kids in law as well, so.
Right.
It's,
yeah, that's the Ray Lewis we're talking about. And, you know, you guys know I love sports and I have a lot of respect for what other places do, but this is what bothers me about places like ESPN. You put, somebody like a Ray Lewis on and you want to give him voice because he's so qualified, that's some nonsense. But the reality is, folks, they put people on who say what they want to hear. So we have Ray Lewis. And then we go get Michael Vick. And I was a big Michael Vick. I mean, I was a supporter of what he did. What? He used to cut his hair. I mean, he should look different. Isn't that the dude that wore cornrows? Isn't that the same Michael Vick? Okay. I don't think it's the afro that's the problem. So what is really the problem is the National Football League and owners have taken a stance that we care more about animals, and you guys know I love animals. Angel is on the show, but she's at daycare. So clearly somebody who sends their dog to daycare really loves animals. Animals should not have more rights than human beings, you know, domestic violence. And it's only because that's something that people have, I guess, taken up. Domestic violence is a really big thing, and we're going to be strong against it, only strong against it because there was video, because you really didn't care about domestic violence. But now we're talking about Black Lives Matter, police brutality, and we're saying that's not important, right? it isn't really necessary. And how dare Colin Kaepernick? Don't miss the story, people, about what it really is. And now in Baltimore, of all places, that supported Ray Lewis through all of this stuff with murder charges, that supported Ray Rice as much as they could until they just thought it was just too much heat, because they'd have played him if they thought they could. Now you, Colin Kaepernick, he's not a felony. He hasn't been arrested. He's not a felon. He hasn't been arrested. He hasn't broken the law. He showed a moral compass, and he stood up for something that so many others just have not had the courage or tenacity to do, and that is why I'm so disappointed in what's happening. I just have to breathe for a moment.
It's a lot. It's to see players who the league promotes, who the fans gravitate to, who have really kind of gotten the second chance that so many people desire when they mess up in this league and in life. You know, the way that Ray Rice got a second chance, the way Ray Lewis got a second chance, the way Michael Vick got a second chance.
Yeah.
Chris Carter works for the same network. He got a second chance. They're lumping Colin Kaepernick and the things that he did and the things that he has stood for and the way that he has comported himself in this past year, they're lumping that in with what those men did and saying that these are crimes that he needs to atone for and that we will help you atone for them, but you must confess to them. You must show your contrition to them. You must make good with the public for them. Not even realizing, remember, you're part of the public, I'm part of the public. There are literally hundreds of thousands of fans in Baltimore and the surrounding area who are part of the public that you would think that the Ravens and the NFL would also want to satisfy, want to keep in the fold, keep drawn to. They're being completely ignored. Every time you hear, oh, he's going to be a disruption, he's going to be a distraction, he's going to drive fans away, they're going to leave, I can come back. You're not even thinking about all the fans who have become Colin Kaepernick fans.
Right.
We're going to follow him wherever he goes.
Right.
There was a report earlier this week, and I mean, there's so many threads to this. It's incredible. The top 50 players in merchandising, jersey sales, all that other stuff, Colin Kaepernick is number 39 on that list, and he does not even play for a team.
So, yeah, so here's the thing. You're right. There's so many threads to this story, right? So Baltimore, of all places, the liberal kind of northeast part of the country, allegedly. Let me pop this message on the screen. Whopper has said he just read an article about how Cordell Stewart has chimed in on the Cap story, and he said the Cap needs to not be loud in protest through social media. Basically, just, you know, shut up and be glad to be in the room. All of those guys, what do they have in common? They're all kind of cut from the same mold. But here's the other thing. What I want other people to do, if you don't support Colin Kaepernick, and that's okay, if you happen to be a person that looks like me, if you are a black person, if you're an African American, however you describe yourself, don't be one of the people that says he shouldn't be saying anything. What did he expect? You know, the good people, that just makes me want to pull my hair out. I just can't do that. I mean, you may not want to get on board and be a part of a conversation about a boycott, but don't be a part of a conversation about he should have never gone this route. Because here's what I say. I don't know that when Colin Kaepernick started this, he thought of himself as, I'm going to be this big, broad activist and a symbol. But I don't think any people do that. If we go back to Muhammad Ali, and you guys know how much I love Muhammad Ali, he was revered when he died because he'd become feeble, because the people hated him when he stood up and said no to the Vietnam War. He said no to the war, but boxing still went on, right? You didn't have there are people who supported him, but I don't know that when Muhammad Ali stood for what he stood for, he knew all that was going to happen, and that was his intention. My point is he was true to who he was. Kaepernick has been true to who he is. He did not just start this. Just look at his history with taking a knee. So him being a disruption is because people are uncomfortable with the truth. They don't want us to talk about the fact that police brutality is an issue. And now they don't want us to say that most of you in the National Football League, a league that I cover, you know, you're the help. And if you don't want to have the help mentality, then you're going to have to do something different. Melanie says, I stopped watching ESPN years ago. And you're right, Jessica, I had to go there with daycare. My point is, y'all know how I feel about dogs. Melanie says, yeah, he had merit. Yeah, Melanie, I was hopeful. I was hopeful. I respect the organizations more if they would just come out and say what we already know is the case. They're not going to say it because they're not really being forced to say it, right? Click on the heart, Scott. Oh, yeah. Hey, this is the other thing. Thank you for saying that, Marcy. If you will, click the hearts as you watch the show because that helps with the engagement numbers. So we're growing Chalk Talk, where we're working on actually a TV project. So if you will share the video, it's just right down to the right, whether you're watching the show live or you're watching it the later broadcast, that helps us with numbers. Thank you so much. And Jessica, that's right. If you don't stand for anything, as Jessica said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Yeah. Absolutely hated him, white America and many blacks for the same reasons, Ali. You're right. Here's the thing, David, that it brings me to, right? There's now this talk, there's some people that talk about boycotting the NFL. So my thing is, thank you so much, Melanie. I appreciate that for sharing the video. Saying let's boycott the National Football League, what does that look like and what does it mean? How many of us are there? And what is that the best way to send a message? Now, I'm not anti-boycott. You know, they used to call me Angela Davis growing up. I was much more Angela Davis than really anybody else. So I'm for taking stands, but what is the right stand? And what kind of boycott will make the National Football League listen? The reality is you're not going to get the players to boycott. And I can't even say that all the players should just not play. I think that's a ridiculous thought. This is their livelihood, and there's some of them that have absolutely no consciousness at all. It doesn't make them bad people. You know, there weren't other when Ali did what he did and took the stand that he took, there were not other boxers that said, well, I'm not going to fight. If he can't box and he going to jail, I'm not going to fight. So let's be realistic about what our expectations are, but let's talk about what, David, what could we do? What would make the NFL say, hold up, there are other fans that matter too?
That is a great question because, you know, you're right. When you talk about boycotts, there's a percentage of the fan base, black and white and every other ethnicity and nationality, that cares about this and that would support something like this. I don't know if it's big enough to affect something like attendance, TV ratings. I mean, we're talking huge numbers there. And I'm sure it won't affect something like commercial sponsorship.
Right.
You know, I don't know if necessarily, you know, are we willing to boycott the companies that support the NFL? You know, are we going to, like, you know, boycott the Nikes, the Coca-Colas, the Budweisers, Doritos? I mean, you can just look at the Super Bowl broadcast and look at the long list of people who
right.
climb over each other to broadcast with the NFL. There's a lot of money there. It would be a very, very involved thing to try to make a big economic point. I think it's very interesting that this has stayed on the front burner as long as it has, simply because so many people refuse to be silent about it. You know, I'm sure you get it. I know I get it. I know that everybody who's ever written or spoken out loud about it has gotten just tons of hate mail, email,
yeah.
Twitter, everything telling you need to shut up. You need to know your place.
Yeah.
You know, you need to, you need to know that, oh, the league is a business. Those guys need to, like, recognize where their bread is buttered. And
basically,
they, you know,
shut up and play football.
Play.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, there's an incredible effort to silence everybody who talks about this. And when we talk about silencing everybody about this, that means silencing everybody about what he is talking about.
Right. So,
you know, every time somebody starts a conversation about the troops and the anthem and the flag, that's a way to not talk about police brutality. And that's the thing everybody's got to remember. And the people who talk about this, keep that on the front burner, keep that in the limelight, keep that in front of everybody. You notice that Ray Lewis never talks about that.
Right.
Ray Lewis hadn't said the words police and brutality in a sentence together.
Yeah. So here's the thing, David.
Steve Bisciotti or any of the other owners or coaches or Roger Goodell or anybody has even said that. The people who are mad about this and who want to stop this, we have to continue to talk. and keep it in front of them so that they can't ignore it anymore.
So, David, here's the thing.
That's the best advice I can give, probably.
I think that you're right. And Melanie says she thought about boycotting the NFL since she loves her some Cowboys, but she's been looking at sponsors too. And like she said, she waits for this time of year. So, but you make a point. If it doesn't move the needle against them financially, because let's be very clear, the National Football League, Roger Goodell and the 32 owners, they don't care about social justice. Let's be very clear about that, because the conversation around Colin Kaepernick is not about the anthem and the flag. There have been too many military people who stood up and said, I fight for him and you and me and everybody else to have the right to take a knee. I fight for that. So it's not about the flag. It's not about the anthem. It's because they don't want to talk about social justice. They don't want to admit the fact that police brutality is real. It's biased. It's happening. And so it goes to something bigger. And you're right. When I talk about Colin Kaepernick, if I post things on Twitter, I lose followers. And I said, bye. Right? I do. Let me say this. You talk about getting hate mail and notes. We get all of that. So, a year and a half ago, a couple of guys did a story about these two female reporters and looked at how they were being, people were saying not nice things to them on Twitter. And I read that, and I had somebody ask me about it. And I said, that each of them had less than, 6-7 years experience. So I said, anytime people are mean, I don't think you should be mean. I'm a decent person, and I think people should be decent. But if somebody was just mean sometimes, that'd be the least of my concerns. What I care about is having to continue to fight for access to do my job, having to continue to fight against rules that are different from me than everybody else. Somebody hurts your feelings, delete them, block them, move on. Their reality is different than our reality. And so as we sit around and talk about Colin Kaepernick should have known better, he should have talked to somebody about what he did, talk to whom? That isn't what being socially conscious is about. When he took the knee, I don't believe he realized his intention was, I'm going to start a movement and people are going to be saying things. He did what he believed and what was true for him, and I applaud him for that. And I wish that people that look like us could at the very least understand that and support his stance, because you talk about police brutality against black people, that's all of us.
It's all of us. It's all of us. It includes all the players, which
right.
is an interesting thing. And you made a great point earlier about how that boxers did not follow Ali on his quest.
Right.
And they continued to box. And, there were all the instances where they continued to call him Cassius Clay to his face. You're a black man. Even if it's in the 60s and you have whatever you had in your mind about what the Nation of Islam was like, he sits there and tells you that, say my name, and you sit there and refuse to say my name. Nothing reflects what that mindset is like more than that, than to continue to do that. That's really what's going on right now. And we talked before, and I want to thank you again, as I always do, for doing so much to promote the book I did with Tommy Smith, Silent Gesture. But that's what he talked about in the book, that when he and John Carlos discussed doing something, and they didn't know exactly what it was going to be during the 1968 Olympics, they could not get other black athletes, other members of the track team, to go along with it. The track competition had gone on for like 5 days before they made their protest. Guys winning gold medals and winning gold medals left and right, most successful Olympic track team of all time, and they just stood there and did nothing, said nothing, never made a gesture, not during the anthem, not during interviews, not on the track, not off the track, just dead silence. And it took them to do it, and they got condemned by their own fellow Olympic athletes and by other athletes in other sports. That's what Colin Kaepernick's going through right now. There are fellow NFL players who are going to end up going through the exact same thing that he's going through off the field. They know what the league is like. They know who writes the checks. They know
right.
what the fans are like. They know what they face when they step away from the stadium, and might get pulled over somewhere, and nobody knows who they are, and they get treated like, the Freddie Grays and the Philando Castiles and all of them, and yet they're so scared of offending their bosses and their fans and the people on TV that they either stay silent or they take their side against Colin Kaepernick.
You know, let's look at a couple more. Melanie says those were absolutely guys' intentions, that he was moved by his conscience. I agree with that. Carolyn says at least he took a knee. You know how many people, exactly, how many people walk, eat, and talk during the anthem? And let me say this, Carolyn, you make a great point. I sit in the press box, and I see these people who would write about the fact that, man, you know, he's out of line. What is he doing? And when they have a part of the game in every NFL or NBA game or Major League Baseball game where they bring out servicemen and women as a symbol of all of the people who fight to protect and serve us as citizens of, and residents of the United States, and the people in the stadium, many of them rise, not that many people in the press box get up. I always stand and applaud, right? That's the only time that it's really okay to cheer or clap, but I'm applauding the people who serve us. And people are not paying attention. Other of these, you know, highfalutin media folks are sitting around. They don't stand up because it's not important. And here's the other thing, Carolyn, people don't see them sitting. That's the problem. What you do in private, is that what you would do if people saw you? Melanie says, we as black folks are so used to lip action and no movement, kind of speaking in general terms. Good morning, Xavier. Xavier says the problem is a lot of people don't care because it's not happening to them. Absolutely. Wapperhead said that Richard Sherman and Chris Long have been the only active players to come of note that they've been vocal about the absurdness of those opposed to Kaepernick's stance. Do you think the NFLPA should come out as a whole and give their position? Absolutely. I absolutely think, Wapperhead, that the NFLPA should be saying something, okay? And let me take these other things down so we can see what you say here, Xavier. Xavier says, when I was watching the movie 12 Years a Slave, one of the most disturbing things I saw in the movie was the main character being tied up and whipped while the other slaves walked around doing their business, blah, blah, blah. He was whipped for revolting against the establishment. That's what I see in the Colin Kaepernick situation. He's not physically being beaten, but being beaten by denying him of his work employment and his economic capacity to earn an income. The owners are trying to break his will, and they're trying to break his will, Xavier, because they don't want the other players to follow through, right? If you want to compare it to the slaves, they don't want the slaves to get out of line and think they can stand up too. Not only the owners are trying to break his will by hiring people who are far less superior skills that compare to his. His cost was for football and players that look like him. Not only was it for athletes alone, it was for grandfathers, dads, uncles, cousins, and lastly, their sons. The sad thing is, like the movie, all the NFL players, black athletes, and others are going about their business like nothing is happening. Where is Damari Smith, NFLPA's executive director, who is a black man? And isn't he supposed to have all of the NFL players back? Absolutely. And I just wanted to share that because I thought it was worth saying. Thank you for that, Xavier. The 12 Years a Slave is a very interesting and I think a very appropriate analogy. But here's the other thing. They want to make an example out of Kaepernick. How dare you? Because really, just be glad and play. So what we're going to do is parade out some other people who are just glad to be in the room. We're going to parade out Ray Lewis, who I guess we'll have to see him in his chinchilla later talking about, I don't know. Then they're going to bring out Michael Vick. Then they go to Cordell Stewart. But people be aware. We talk about staying woke. This is a great opportunity. So maybe what you do is maybe an NFL boycott. Look, if everybody that watches the NFL, every black person that watches the NFL start watching the NFL, I don't know that it would affect them financially. And so if it doesn't affect them financially, it won't matter. But maybe what you do is in your city with your teams, maybe you start approaching and reaching out to players on that team. If you see a player that has something to say, Ray Lewis, maybe we talk about Ray Lewis. I don't know. I mean, not that I want to get him fired, but we need to – there's got to be a way that moves the needle. And so when we talk about boycott, I just want it to be productive. I don't want us to just be mad and do something where they can say, oh, that's not making a difference, and have us to go away. And I am open for what that is. I don't have the answer. But one of the things is to support the people that need it. And right now it's a Colin Kaepernick and it's a Rich Sherman and it's guys, the few who are saying something. And to let the other guys know, listen, if you don't want to support Colin Kaepernick, then just shut the hell up. When they put the mic in front of you and say, man, I'm not smart enough to talk about that. I am not deep enough, you know, I don't have the range to have this conversation. Call somebody else. That's what I would say should do. Now, that's just me. Melanie, I know, right? Y'all remember? Okay, you guys remember the chinchilla when Ray Lewis was acquitted and he came out with his mom and he had that chinchilla on? I just can't take a man who wears a chinchilla seriously. He can't talk to me about something that's right or wrong. I just can't do it.
Well, he's replaced the chinchilla with fedora now. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's walking around trying to fit like that, and he's trying to look. He's changing his look. He's working on his image. This is what Ray is trying to do. Ray is trying to find his place in his post-career world.
He found it.
If you watched him during his career, you knew that was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't just going to walk into any old job he wanted to. It's kind of a miracle that he's gotten the broadcasting job that he has. You know,
it's not a miracle, David. He says and does and tap dances the way they want him to say and do and tap dance. He's what they want to show us as black people. And so when we say, you know, I'm so tired of people like him, then you need to support people like you. I've brought you David Steele before. David writes for the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter, at David_C_Steele. Follow his work, read his columns. He's got a book that he wrote, and I encourage you to follow him on Twitter. You can get the link, and you can buy that book. Because if you don't support us, and this isn't like a self-righteous thing, the people who have the largest platform is what you're going to continue to have thrown in your face. You're going to have to find some independent people who either own their own platform or are fortunate enough to work for a place where their voice is not trying to be silenced. Let me ask you this, David. I've had this conversation with people that say, well, you know, Kim, the real reason that, oh, funny, Tobified, you sure are right, Xavier, don't be Tobified, that Colin Kaepernick does not have an opportunity to play right now is because his skills had diminished, and they talk about his numbers. Let's talk about his numbers, and is that really the place? Is that the case? If you look at his numbers, you covered him. From a football standpoint, how does Colin Kaepernick rate with some of these other NFL quarterbacks?
Thank you. It's a smear campaign. I mean, there's no other way to describe what happened to him this offseason. There are people connected with this league who have found the right mouthpieces to speak on their behalf and to protect them and to protect their identities so they can smear his ability to the public and give themselves some cover so that they don't have to say we're afraid of his social stance. And the fans, of course, who don't want to admit that they're either racist or that they just flat out don't care about the lives of black people or about the things that Colin Kaepernick is fighting for, they use that as a crutch. People have said, well, look, all he has to, you know, is he good enough to be a backup on some team somewhere when you look at the terrible backups that are in this league? He's good enough to start for somebody. I mean, even if he starts on a bad team, which he started on last year, he had a good year for a team that had no talent around it, that when they got the new coach and GM in there this past season, they got rid of everybody. So that tells you that he had nothing to work with, and he still put up numbers that were better than guys who have been signed to be starters, guys who have been signed to be backups, guys who have become third stringers. You know, there have been, and I counted it about a month ago, and there have been a few names added to it since then. There have been, I think, about 25, 26 quarterbacks signed in free agency this offseason. You know, there have been, I think there were something like 6 or 7 quarterbacks drafted this past year. You know, Mitchell Trubisky was the 2nd pick of the draft, so let's keep that in mind as well. I mean, you can probably pick out.
Doesn't Matt Schaub have a job? Isn't he still on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Schaub, he has a job. I mean, let's talk about some of the people around this league that have a job. Don't tell me he's not good enough and it's because of his numbers. Buy it, people. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Buy it.
Big okey-doke. Big. We'll pull over the eyes completely. He can play. He belongs in the NFL. There's nothing objectively you could say that would convince anybody he does not belong in the NFL. And if people want to trash him and say, oh, I looked at his film one time and he overthrew a guy. You know, that's the sort of talk that's going on. Oh, he had this terrible game in Chicago where it was like snowy and -5, so he doesn't belong in the NFL. You know, and it's insane it's bad enough seeing it from the fans. The fans are the fans. You know, they're gonna show themselves, you know, they have the egg or what used to be the egg on Twitter, you know, so you don't have to identify them. They're a bot or something like that, and some kind of troll. There are people in the NFL who are talking to people in major mainstream publications who are spreading that nonsense and getting people to buy into it. And all it does is give themselves a public excuse that they think is worthy enough to justify not signing. That's all it is.
It is, you know, we talk about staying woke, right? This is a great time to do it. And so I talk to people that I know and respect, who buy into the narrative, because there's so many people who say, well, he shouldn't use his job to, you know, have a stand. So the people who come out and say, I was sexually harassed at work and I want to talk about it, they shouldn't, what should they do? I mean, you know, how does that work, right? I just think that we just have to be really vigilant and diligent about being informed. That's the problem. So many of us are not informed. We don't really understand what's happening. And what I say to you is, just don't get caught up and fall for the okey-doke. Tony Connor says, most black folk will never understand the dynamic of what Cap did, and the owners are telling black athletes to be seen and not heard. Cap's stats were better than 75% of the quarterbacks last year. And I want to leave that there for a moment, because that's what you were talking about, David. I was trying to share my screen, and I'm going to – so Colin Kaepernick, who has completed 59% of his passes, right? About 59, right at 60% of his passes. I cover day in, day out the Houston Texans. Do you know how much they would have liked to have had a quarterback that completed 59.8% of their passes, not as a backup, but as a starter? And so that may change this year, but let's not act like Cap can't play. That's a very, very good point. Thank you for that, Tony. Tyrone Bennett says, Colin took the 49ers to the Super Bowl, but my Texans gave a nobody millions. Yeah, you sure right. They gave Brock Osweiler.
You're at ground zero. nobody can ever talk about Colin Kaepernick Central. After what quarterback mess. And
right.
We have talked about it on the show, but without even bringing Colin Kaepernick into it.
Yeah.
The mess.
Yeah.
That team, that's a Super Bowl team that's being kept from the Super Bowl because they got such, not even just mediocre quarterbacks. They got bad quarterbacks.
They have awful quarterback production. Yes.
They give throw money at bad players. They draft bad players. You know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, you get people young things like this, oh, he's just an interception machine. And then you see, like, oh, well, he only threw 4 interceptions all last year. You know, it's just people just literally make stuff up about Colin Kaepernick. They just literally lie in public about him while they literally give everybody on your roster down there and half the league in the back. And that's one of that's also, just to bring it sort of full circle, that's part of the dynamic here with the Ravens in Baltimore. Their backup for the, you know, who they carried over from last year is Ryan Mallett.
Okay, can we stop for a minute? I just need you to, because a lot of these people that we would say are kind of like losers in the quarterback world, they come from the Texans. Erica Hilliard says one name, Hoyer. And then Brian Hoyer, you have people like bidding for his services. What? He can't play. Brian Hoyer has a job and Kaepernick isn't good enough. People, don't buy it. Just be quiet. You don't have to support him, but don't be used as a puppet and have the conversation and say it's about his numbers. It's not about his numbers. Michael Vick is not about his afro from The Man Who Wore Cornrows. It's not about that. Ray Lewis, sit down somewhere, all right? Sit down somewhere, and I need to hear from DeMaurice Smith, right? I need to hear from DeMaurice
you know
Smith.
What, thank you.
I need to hear from DeMaurice Smith.
What? Why do you have a union if this isn't what the union, if this is not what it's for? That's what the union's for. The union isn't for, you know, I mean, yeah, go get people money. Yeah, and I definitely get that. It's a complex job. It's a lot. But a player in your sport, a prominent player at the most valuable position in the entire sport, a position that is still rare in 2017 to have a black man play that position, is being blackballed. I mean, if nothing else, stand up out loud and ask the question. Even if you don't like the answer, even if they're going to give you some crazy answer, stand up and say, explain yourself. You know, explain yourself, 32 NFL owners who I got to negotiate with all the time. Explain how you're keeping this guy away from working. You know, don't give me his stats. Don't give me his age. Don't give me whatever it is, whatever excuse they're going to give. Tell me why you're not signing him. And don't ever, and if, you, and if you're not signing for the reasons clearly not signing, don't ever sell to the public that you're all about winning, that you're all about to put the best team out there and giving yourself the best opportunity to win, and that's what it's all about, the fans and all that, because it's not. Because if it was, you know, the Brock Osweilers and Ryan Mallets and Brian Hoyers and Tom Savages.
All people that have worn Texan uniform. And Wapperhead says, meanwhile,
for one team,
that's the team I cover. He says, meanwhile, Osweiler hasn't even taken snaps with the first team in Cleveland yet. Let that sink in. You know, Wapperhead, so that's why I appreciate the Chalk Talk audience. You guys are informed. You keep it real. And so as we try to figure out what is the thing to do, what do you say, you know, maybe it's, if you're a Houston Texans fan, right, you're excited. We're excited about Deshaun Watson. Yay, woo, I hope he is what we think he can be. Clearly he's going to end up being a starter because you just mentioned Tom Savage, a guy who got hurt on a quarterback sneak. So what I say is maybe it's talk to the owners in your city. You know, y'all talk about community. Why do you have all these – we have a community project, and on Tuesdays we go out and serve the community. What better way to serve the community than talk about black folks not getting beat by cops for no reason and getting shot to death? I mean, I can't think of anything more community-oriented than saving the lives of people who are being unfairly and unjustly harmed, injured, locked up, shot down just because they are black. I'm just saying. Terry says, I commend Colin Kaepernick. I just started really getting into football, and he is one of the good ones. They are just puppets on a string. Those players know deep down inside what he's fighting for. They're afraid of being blackballed. And, you know, Terry, here's the thing. Thank you so much for your comment. Welcome to the show. I don't even know if they're afraid of being blackballed. I think so many of them are just not conscious. They don't care. They're not interested. It's the same reason a lot of them go broke, because they don't think it can happen to them. And, see, I believe that what happened to Sandra Bland could happen to me. I believe I could be stopped. Now, I don't smoke, so cigarettes, weed, or anything else, that wouldn't be it. But how many people get stopped for no reason? I was stopped coming from a Starbucks one day for no reason, and I had to keep my wits about me. I haven't had a ticket, let me not say it, let me knock on some wood somewhere, in over 20 years. They stopped me for no reason. And when I asked him, officer, why did you stop? Because he could. Really, basically, is what he said. So let's not think it cannot happen to us. Brother Robert says, boycott the NFL on principle. I get you. But, Brother Robert, I would love to know, what do we do that can be impactful? I mean, how do we, you know, I say call out some of the people. I say we need to be calling out Damari Smith. We need to hear from the Players Association. What are y'all doing, right? You want to stand up about somebody who, you know, the whole – should you smoke marijuana? I could not care less about that. They'll probably legalize it. I think people get it's too harshly penalized. I mean, that's another story. But we're going to fight about you failing a drug test, but I'm not going to fight about you having a chance to play because you're standing up for what you believe in, because you have a sense of social conscience, and you're going to give me those puppets like Ray Lewis and Michael Vick, who I supported. The brother said he got an afro. Cut your hair. Really? From the dude who wore cornrows? I struggle with that. And we finally, the black quarterbacks, we have two black quarterbacks in the state of Texas. Yeah, you know, Dak Prescott, absolutely, and, of course, now Deshaun Watson. Good morning, Dorita. There can be no change. And here's the thing. There can be no change without other players getting involved. And I think that's David, you know, we talk about a lot of things. You know, there can be no change. Now, with the Texans last year, Duane Brown did, you know, he took a knee. There are players around the league who try to do their part. Duane Brown works for one of the more conservative owners in the league in terms of Bob McNair. He's a good conservative Republican man with a bunch of money. And you know, he supported Donald Trump's inauguration, and I'm not holding that against him, but just know who he is. Good guy, but that's who he is, right? So how do we get the players involved? And then Brother Muhammad says they are kept away from black issues on these D1 colleges. Okay, so I want to talk about that. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, because I was having this conversation the other day. They said, well, what happens is when the players get to the NFL, starts telling them about who to use and use these other people like white accounts. That's not what happens. You're giving the NFL too much credit. If we're going to make a change, it's got to start happening on a collegiate level and maybe before they get to college, because it's straight brainwashing from then on, all right? And if you look at these D1 colleges and look at the head coaches, now there's a deficit in black leadership. Division I college football. Basketball is different, but Division I college football, don't get me started about the University of Texas, okay? And what happened there? It's the collegiate level where there's really more power. And I'm telling you, it's straight brainwashing. And if players are not, don't get the sense of being socially conscious, of taking care of themselves and knowing what's important, by the time they get to the NFL, it's too late. It's really too late. That's an awesome comment, Brother Mom. See, that's why I have such great like people that are part of Chalk Talk. Jack Darden says they need Cap in Miami. Tannehill, speaking of my Aggies, he's hurt already. I know.
Yeah, I literally, right
I know.
Started the show, I heard about that. It's like, this is all going to pop off real fast because this training camp, we're like a week in the training camp, players are dropping like flies. It's unbelievable. And you say that every training camp, and oh, man, the number of injuries is serious. It's really crazy. Something about this year, this first week, something's up. I don't know what's going on. This whole offseason was crazy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And if teams continue to turn their back, and I think it'd be great. I want to see another team put on the hot seat, you know, because right now it's the Ravens, and they deserve all the heat that they're getting and more. I want to see what happens when another team no longer gets to hide behind the Ravens and go like, ah, it's too bad for you guys. Now, it's interesting because Stephen Ross is kind of an interesting guy.
Right.
You know, now, I'm not totally sure about his politics, but he has been outspoken about wanting to do stuff for the community and having the team be involved and connected. He's very generous with his donations and things like that. So, yeah, I'm very curious. And for Arian Foster and a few of the other players were on that team last year, and they took a knee.
Right.
And Stephen Ross supported them publicly. So that could be very interesting if push comes to shove and all of a sudden – they need a quarterback, and all of a sudden the heat is turned up under them compared to others. And you know what? I wish we could do an entire show about the whole Division I football.
We will.
Where they get
Listen,
the players.
It's my show. I can do what I want.
Players, you know. I mean, and again, it ties back into the NFL. Every city that there's an NFL franchise faces the issues that Colin Kaepernick is talking about. And that players are engaged in, and they run away from it.
Right.
They keep it at a distance. They stay at arm's length. You know, they do the stuff. Oh, we're gonna we're gonna rebuild a playground. No, we're gonna refurbish a community center. The Ravens, for a stretch of several years, they were giving away new helmets and uniforms for football for the high school and football team and refinishing their fields and things like this. How does a franchise that does that now turn around and take a stand like this and say, we're just going to go ask our rich season ticket holders from out in the county what they think about, signing a guy who's standing up for black people in the most public way we've ever seen in this league? How do you mesh those two together? How do you reconcile all that?
So, David, you don't. I don't know how you do it. But here's the deal. A couple of things. This is a great thing about owning your own platform. I can do a show about Division I, so we will do that. We don't have to ask an editor for those people who say, well, why don't you try to go back to TV? Not that they're clamoring to get me, but if I don't own my own platform, I'm not able to have the kind of conversations that we can have today. Dorita says, in her opinion, if a team takes him, they would see a positive economic impact. People would support, buy tickets, jerseys, et cetera. A boycott... This is interesting. A boycott won't work because they can't see an economic impact with our absence. I'm a season ticket holder, and they've had my money for months. So, I'm about principle, and I get that, but I want it to be impactful where they have to pay attention. I want there to be activity where they have to pay attention. So maybe what it becomes is teams that are looking at a Colin Kaepernick, if the ownership, or maybe now all you Miami Dolphins fans, and I know I have some of the listeners, Jack Darden, who's in Florida, Barbara Pender, who listens a lot, y'all need to call the Dolphins. Let the Dolphins hear from you publicly through their social media. We're interested in Colin. We need Colin Kaepernick, because you talk about the Ravens, David. Initially, we heard that Flacco was going to be out for 1 week. Well, now you're telling me it could be much longer than that. Who are they going to play?
That's what it comes down to. Like, are you really interested in winning? And you know, if that's the case, you're going to go out and get Kaepernick, because he is the best quarterback out there, and it's an incredible fluke of history that he's available to you on August 3rd of the season. Or you somehow take a stand on, you know, pandering to, you know, fans who literally don't care, and would put their own hatred ahead of their love of the team, and you're going to get exactly the results you deserve. You know, they're a little 4-12 or whatever with Myron Mallett. You know, John Harbaugh gets fired. Ozzie Newsome gets forced out. You know, you're back at rock bottom anymore, once again. Redskins fans are laughing at you. Steelers fans are laughing at you. And all because there's a group of fans who said, he or she disrespected the anthem. He disrespected the flag. It's like, well, is that worth it to you? Was that worth it to you? Or do you want to actually do something that, one, helps the team, and two, helps the city that you supposedly represent? I mean, there's so much upside for the Ravens or any other team sign Colin Kaepernick, and the downside is what? Getting, you know, a bunch of people who enjoy seeing the cops kill people? I mean, getting their support? The logic doesn't make sense, but obviously we're not dealing with logic because we're at this point of the year and nobody's signed.
So Brother Roberts says Sessions, and that would be Jeff Sessions, y'all, Attorney General, for however long that your president allows him to remain in that position, he is fighting to end affirmative action in college admissions. What would happen if black blue chippers selectively boycotted Auburn and Alabama? Hey, Brother Robert, they would be in a world of hurt. You probably see Nick Saban talking about Black Lives Matter, because they can't be who they are without those players. And Erica Hillier said, if David Carr has been signed as a backup, I would cash in my chips and go home. Let me tell you something. Don't cash in your chips, because he's still going to the bank. These people who were run out of town, tarred and feathered, are still able to get jobs. And Tyrone says that's why a lot of players hold out of OTAs and training camps, because of injuries. That's a good point. And Christopher Mormon says, boss. Welcome, Christopher. Glad to have you on. You know, it is – listen, guys, we have to shift the conversation, right? First of all, we got to be willing to have a conversation, and so many of us are not willing. We want to just automatically say, man, he should have. I've had people, especially in the baby boomer age, right? I've had a lot of them that I've sat with and said, man, he should have known, man. What did he expect? I said, but that's not what being socially conscious is about. That is not what activism is. We always want to act like, when somebody does something like a Colin Kaepernick move, he thought about the repercussions down the road. You know, now here's my, I got one beef for Cap. He didn't vote and talked about it. That's it, right? Other than that, I mean, I thought you had a platform. That was not the thing to do and say. He's learning. He has kind of been thrust into this role, but he has been true to what he believes, and unfortunately he believes that foolishness. But I support him.
Yeah.
You know, I support the fact that he's not anti-anthem and flag. You have to listen to why he said he took a knee. People want to turn it into something else. Charles Lamar Drayton says winning for them is not defined to include human dignity for people that look like you. Absolutely. You know, that's absolutely right. Christopher says Cap opted out of last year's contract with the 49ers. They would have paid him $16 million this season. I'm trying to think outside the box here, but do you think Cap, expected to bring attention to the hypocrisy implied of black and brown in America? B, is surprised by this, or C, thought he had more value on the open market. You know, Christopher, you know, thank you for that. That is, those are some really good points. And
well,
I don't know what the answer
clear
is.
Up real quick, though, the 49ers are going to cut him.
Right.
If he did not that guy. Yeah. So there was kind of a mutual agreement where it's like he was not going to be on the 49ers. He was not going to get that $16 million.
Right.
That was they made that decision that those guys who hadn't even come in yet
right.
had decided that.
Before the new guys who don't even get me started about them having a job.
Mm-hmm.
You got the offensive coordinator who blew the Super Bowl for the Falcons, right? He blew it. He blew it. And then you got a guy who's never even been in a front office as a GM. I rest my case. And Dorita says people, listen to this, will send their sons to Baylor. To Baylor. Even with the current culture. You got to be kidding me. You want to talk about Colin Kaepernick can't get a job. Do y'all know what's been happening to Baylor? Do you understand what has been happening at Baylor? I think that we got to have these conversations, and we got to have it beyond just the emotional, oh, he shouldn't have done it, he should cut his hair, he should be quiet, what did he expect, and talk about what is the real problem. And we got to go back to this Division I piece, man. The Division I piece is critical. It starts before they get to the National Football League. Because at that point, they're getting big checks, they're grown. You know, David says, Kim, you're correct, the brainwashing starts at D1 schools. Their motto is, if you are a good black boy and score a lot of touchdowns for us, you'll get all the money you can. The pats on the back by white people and all the white women you can get. You can even get arrested because you're really savages to us. We'll get you out of jail. The beginning of publication of the black athlete. You know? Publication. Y'all don't sleep on what's happening on the Division I level. Understand it. Look at the coaches. Look at the culture. Don't sleep on what's happening at the D1 level. Brother Muhammad says, did Dr. King die in vain? Did Ali sacrifice 3 years of his career for nothing? We are such an ungrateful generation. Exactly. Instead of saying, what Colin Kaepernick did is not just for him. It is for me. He doesn't know me. He might know you, David, but he doesn't know me. He doesn't know the people that are probably on my timeline on the show. But he did it for people beyond himself. That's what Dr. King did. That's what Muhammad Ali did. And so, yes, we do put Colin Kaepernick in the same conversation when we talk about leaders of civil and social justice. And we have got to stop thinking, well, you know, I wouldn't do it, and I have a job, and, you know, on my job, I can't do that. Really? Those people don't care about you. Be very, very clear.
Be very clear, yeah. And I think we've somehow gotten into the mindset that the things that were achieved by that generation, by Dr. King and Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown and Doris and all those people, Kareem, John Carlos, Tommy Smith, all those people, that somehow this was an end in itself. It wasn't a means to an end. The end was supposed to be freedom and equality and justice. The end was not a good job. Okay, any more than an end was, hey, I get to use the same bathroom as them now. Okay, and that was somehow just something you're supposed to protect with your life and closely guard and never do anything to jeopardize that. People have for generations been looking at college scholarships, athletic scholarships, at that end. Well, as long as you get to go to college for not and for free, then don't worry about it. Anything goes. And it's like we now are at the point where we have to think beyond that.
Right.
And I really want the generation that's after us to embrace that. I mean, I'm glad that we're out here talking about it. The ones that come after us have to push it even harder. The guys who are Colin Kaepernick thing, the guys who are younger than that, the guys who are in high school who have the skill to go and make, you know, Nick Saban or, you know, some of these guys millions of dollars.
Yeah, multi-millions of dollars. Hey, David, I want to remind people, David writes for the Sporting News. He's a longtime friend and colleague and has been covering sports around the country for years. But he co-authored a book with Tommy Smith called Silent Gesture. And I'm wondering, David, And please tell me you know who Tommy Smith is. If you're on my timeline, don't tell me. Just Google it and go find out and get the book. But have you talked to Tommy about this? And, you know, I wonder what a guy like Tommy Smith says about a Colin Kaepernick today.
He was totally supporting of what Colin Kaepernick did. And he also really loved it when that next wave of players started raising their fists during the anthem. And he did have, and if you can, you can look that up as well. This was back during the football season.
Right.
He discussed what the raised fist meant for him and John Carlos, what it meant in the history of the movement, and why it means something now, and why protesting the anthem means something today, and why that particular platform was used rather than something else. Because that's sort of the argument everybody makes. Oh, why take aim at the flag or the anthem? Something. There's a reason why you were doing that, and there's also a reason why the fist was raised. So, yeah, he's been supportive of this all along. He has never wavered from that. He's gotten questions about it all the time, and he's very glad that there's an entire generation of athletes now who is aware of the importance of using the visibility that you have, because, as we all know, we lived through it. There was a whole generation that didn't seem to care. We talked about Michael Jordan many times,
right,
about Mr. Republican by choose too. You know, this generation is revived. You know, they're echoing what's going on, even without a lot of intimate knowledge of the 60s. You know, that'd be like the grandparents' age.
Right.
You know, they're aware now, and Tommy Smith and some of those older athletes have been doing a pretty good job of making that connection for them. So, yeah, he's been aware of this for pretty much from the beginning. And the one thing you also have to remember is that Harry Edwards,
right,
who was advising Tommy Smith and John Carlos during those protests, also advised Colin Kaepernick.
Right. So let me say this. I want to, and we'll talk offline, but I would love to get Tommy Smith on the show because I'd love to have his voice. You know, I talked to, you know, one of these people and said, you know, Colin Kaepernick should have talked to Harry Edwards. Shut up. He did talk to Harry Edwards. Okay. Christopher says the NFLPA and players won't even unify and strike to get guaranteed contracts. The average NFL career is 3 years, and you have to play four to get a pension. So it's paramount these guys strike for guaranteed contracts without injury clauses, but they're not willing, they don't have the mindset, because once they get to the league, they're already in debt to agents and they need that money. Charles says yes. And then Brother Robert says, Brother Steele is on point. The end is not to sit in the restaurant, hotel, or restroom, but to own them for ourselves. You know, if we, listen,
thank you.
You've got to support people who are trying to do something different. Because I couldn't go back to my former employer, pick one, NBC station, ABC station, CBS, and have an entire show where we could have this conversation this candidly. I wouldn't be able to do that, right? But it's my show, and I, of course, am always responsible, and I am a journalist, but I'm able to have a conversation that I think is viable, and I have editorial control. So we've got to support the places and the people, the restaurants, and the businesses and the platforms and the shows and the writers who even are working for big publications, support them in their work so that they are able to still kind of disseminate these messages in a mass way to a bigger audience, and we're not stuck listening to these buffoons like Ray Lewis. Oh, I just want to scream when I think about Ray Lewis and Mike Vick and Cordell Stewart. Are you kidding me? And if it was basketball season, we'd be talking about Charles Barkley. So that's not. But
that's not.
All right, so we are just about, you know, we're almost out of time. I went a little longer today, and I appreciate David spending the entire hour and almost 10 minutes with me. So here's a couple things. So Charles says that we have to unify. We have to unify, absolutely. So follow David on Twitter. Get his book, Silent Gesture, with it. He co-authored with Tommy Smith. It's as relevant today as it was when he wrote it and as it was when Tommy Smith, you know, raised his fist back in the Olympics. It's necessary that we support these voices and have these conversations. And the other thing is that we have these conversations with information. Listen, we need to be putting some pressure on the NFL Players Association. I mean, that's a smaller entity, because the reality is, you know, if anybody that wants to boycott, I say do it, right? I'm all for taking a stand. But I want us to also do – we can do multiple things. We need to start talking about Division One. We need to pay attention, y'all, to what's happening on the national political scene. Jeff Sessions, while Trump is trying to run him out of office in his cowardly way, is going around trying to kill voting rights. You know, worried about affirmative action in colleges and so college admission. There are so many things for us to talk about, okay? There are so many things for us to talk about. Charles says, thank you, Mr. Steele. Get the book. It's called Silent Gesture. And Brother Robert said, thank you, Sports Beam. A great show. I appreciate you, Brother Robert. And Dorita says, use Amazon Smile and select this woman's work when you buy this book. The charity will be blessed. Absolutely. So, see, there's so many ways we can support one another, other causes. Get the book, go to Amazon, support a charity, but let people hear from you. And here's the thing I also want you to do. Share the broadcast. Make sure you're following me on the page, Kim White Davis, because I've moved the show here so I can grow it to a bigger platform. I'm limited on my personal page, so I'm trying to get those who follow to come here and watch it. So if you will share the broadcast now, if you're watching it live, or if you watch the rebroadcast of it later, I appreciate that and definitely support David Steele. David, thank you so much. We will talk soon. Let's connect with Tommy Smith and keep up the great work you're doing. If anything breaks in Baltimore, let me know. Let me know.
I will do that. Thank you again for having me on. It's always a joy. It's always a pleasure to be on, and I'm always ready to jump on when I'm invited. No, last second, long in advance, doesn't even matter.
Right.
It's just asking. I'll be there.
Well, I appreciate you, and I am getting better. He actually had a week's notice, so thank you, my brother. All right, David, I'll see you soon. Thank you.
Okay, no, but I had a ball again. I'm so glad to have this kind of conversation. I'm so glad you provided.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Take care, everybody.
All right, take care. That's David Steele. Marshall says, well, let me go these last couple comments before we leave. There is no effort to get rid of racist Sessions. It was an effort to solidify his position so he could do the dirty work. You know what, Charles? You might be right. You know, you absolutely might be right. There we go. Don't sleep. Marshall says, support CAPS GoFundMe campaign started by Sean Roberts. I really like Sean Roberts. And Dorita says, thank you to you and your guests. Hey, guys, thank you so much. We're out of time. Share the broadcast. I will see you next Thursday, if not sooner. I was going to say beyond the headlines. I've made up an old show again. I'll see you next week on Chalk Talk. Share the video. Follow me on Twitter. Follow David Steele and buy the book Silent Jester. Have a great, great week. See you next time. Okay. We're done, everybody.